Welcome back to the Gridiron Pulse. We are back here. Of course, I have Jacob, but then there's a man to my left, or I don't know how it shows up on the screen, but you get it. We have somebody else here. His name's Carter. Carter, I'm sure you introduce yourself, tell the people what you're all about, but I'll at least like give you a little brief intro before you do it yourself. Carter went to Georgia with us. He also went to high school with me. So, yeah, he's a ball knower. Bring him on the show here. But yeah, Carter, I'll give it over to you and you can kind of introduce yourself and your story.
For sure. First of all, appreciate y'all for having me on. I'm really excited to talk some ball with the fellas. So, just a little bit about me, like piggybacking off what Cole said. I graduated from UGA with both Cole and Jacob same year. And then I went to the same high school as Cole. So I've known Cole since high school, and I met Jacob in college at the greatest university in the country, UGA. So I guess just a little bit about me. I'm obviously a huge Georgia fan, huge Atlanta sports fan. Of course, that comes with a lot of sadness, but it's what comes with it. So.
It's what made you the man you are today.
Yeah, no woman could ever break my heart more than Atlanta Sports does. So just as a kid, I've grown up going to games at Sanford. So some of my best memories of my childhood have always been, you know, going to games. Just with my parents. My parents have had season tickets since I think they graduated. So I've been going to a ton of games. I've been to some crazy games like the Rose Bowl, which you guys probably can't see above me, but I have a framed picture of the Rose Bowl. Pretty awesome. But went to that game, went to first Natty we won since 1980 in Indy, so I love the Dogs. I always will be. Or I always will. So that's a little bit about me.
Awesome. And moving on here, speaking of memories, Jacob, good segue. We have a man who retired from college football, college game day to be more exact. And this man brought a lot of memories, I'm sure, to all of our childhoods. Some would say it's about 5 years too late for him to be retiring, but you know, again, not we're here to respect him, so we're going to be respectful here. Yeah, but that of course is Lee Corso retiring from College Game Day. He's going to be making his last headgear pick week one, which to me this all but proves that they're going to Ohio State, Texas week one of Game Day, and he's going to put on Brutus for one last time to bookend his being his first headgear pick Brutus and his last headgear pick being Brutus. But amazing stuff from Lee. Just I'm sure we all have similar stories of his growing up watching game day, him picking a headgear, us being mad if he didn't put Ugga on his or Harry Dog on his head, us being oh my gosh.
That's
yes.
What he always would say.
Whenever Ugga was on the table and he literally called Ugga ugly. He's like, get that ugly dog out of here. Oh, man. But, you know, bittersweet stuff. I'd say this is more so happy because, I mean, this is a long time coming for him. He needed to retire a good bit ago. But what do y'all feel about the old Lee Corso retirement?
All right, go ahead and take this one.
Yeah, I mean, some of my greatest memories of watching college football is always tuning in to College Game Day at 9 o'clock in the morning every Saturday, whether that be at like tailgate, whenever I'm tailgating at a Georgia game or I'm tailgating elsewhere, going to a friend's house, staying there, just watching college football all day. It would start every single morning at nine o'clock in the morning. Or even just sitting at home watching game day with my parents. And, you know, it was always extra special whenever game day would come to Athens. Because, you know, there's going to be some crazy headgear Ugga's going to appear. Lee Corso's definitely been a huge part of my childhood. Just growing up a college football fan, watching game day every Saturday. I'm gonna miss him, but I think he's gonna enjoy his retirement. Definitely a legend in college football for sure.
I know there's been the discourse online of which game he's actually going to, or game day will actually be going to week one. But I mean, I totally agree with you, Cole. It's got to be that Texas Ohio State game to put on Brutus one last time. I know I saw Danny Cannell
Oh God.
tweet out
Oh
tweet out
God.
that they were going to Bama at Florida State week one, since he is Florida State Seminole. And fun fact, I actually saw that he is tied with Deion Sanders in career interceptions at Florida State. Saw that come across the timeline
Yes.
yesterday. It's like two of the most polar opposite people in the world. It's like, yeah, we'd be catching picks though. But one of my best college game day memories, I guess, would be when we went to the tailgate for the Georgia Tennessee game in 2022. And just, I mean, being like right there, front row. We actually had like a game day segment in my uncle's little tailgate arena with what's her name, Jess Sims, and unfortunately, it was with the alien Josh Dobbs. But Steelers legend for my boy Cole here, Steelers legend Josh Dobbs. We were about arm's length away from him. She was just asking him like random questions about the game, and he obviously got all of the answers wrong. Although he might be an astrophysicist, he's a Tennessee volunteer at heart, and Georgia absolutely brought the beat down that day. That was probably one of my favorite, if not the number one favorite game that I've been to. But college game day is always filled with great memories. Never forget just walking over to either one of y'all's houses, or y'all coming over to my house at 9 o'clock in the morning, just bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, just waiting for a fantastic day of college football. It'll be weird without Lee, but as we kind of mentioned, his brain seemed like it was elsewhere whenever he was on set.
All right, all right. Come on now.
Lovely
Don't
Corso.
bury the guy.
Dude, I mean, he hasn't made sense in 3 years, but good for him. Glad they're doing one last hurrah. Hopefully he doesn't come in with a not so fast and then come back week two.
Old,
What a
ultimate,
legendary
not so
status.
fast. Dude, that would be crazy. Now, the more I was thinking about it, so my favorite non-Georgia moment for Lee Corso, at least for me. Do you guys remember when? So every time he would pick Oklahoma, he'd shoot that gun or whatever. Or maybe it was like a time where he picked Texas Tech or Oklahoma State and he fired like the two pistols or something. I just remember Kirk Herbstreit being right next to him and he literally was like, oh, like he literally acted like a gun got shot next to him. And I remember me and my dad, we were dying laughing for like 10 minutes and we kept rewinding and winding it back. And we're like, oh shoot, like the game that afternoon, like literally just started like 10 minutes ago, but we're still just watching Lee Corso fire fake pistols with blanks. Oh my gosh.
I lost the
Amazing.
audio there for a second. Were y'all talking about the Ricky Fowler when he was up there with Oklahoma State? I saw that clip yesterday. Yeah, that was hilarious.
I think it might have been that, but yeah, I just remember like Kirk Herbstreit, like I said, just being right next to him and him being like,
Whenever there was guns involved, someone was always getting scared. That was pretty funny. I wouldn't trust him with a gun either.
luckily it fired blanks, but
Still.
so guess we well. I guess we can move to this next topic, but anytime you bring up the NCAA with anything, a collective just, what now? But I think at least for this could be potentially good things coming down the pipeline. Of course, we all know about the House versus NCAA settlement, which could then open the floodgates for potentially a rev share model and then NIL caps and guardrails, which we have all been wanting. But I was listening to Josh Pate the other day, and he brought up a point that I thought was really interesting. He basically brought up how this settlement could then lead to certain NIL guidelines, and basically what they were. So so essentially what they are now is a player can come to a school, go to like a 30-minute autograph signing, and get $2.5 million, which Yeah, technically you can mask that as an NIL deal, but we all know it's just pay for play. Like they're not fooling anybody. But you can't necessarily punish them because they are still technically abiding by the laws, if there are any. But essentially with this upcoming settlement and what it could lead to is, so let's say this same example. Let's say this player does the same exact thing, 30-minute autograph signing for a $1.5 or $1 million, whatever I just said. They would, the collective or the school would have to report that to the NCAA or whoever is like the governing for the NIL. I don't know exactly how that's going to look, but they would have to report that deal. And essentially, that deal is going to have to, they're going to have to prove that the payout that the player got is lined up with the market value for whatever that player did. So under the new model, it would be, let's say he did that. 30-minute autograph signing $1.5 million. This governing body would then say, okay, actually, due to our research, fair market value for a 30-minute autograph signing at the very most is $50,000. So we are rejecting this NIL deal. Like that is not going to work. That would essentially what would be the guardrails for this new NIL, which could potentially come down. And I think this literally, it makes it to where this is what NIL is supposed to be. It's supposed to be like benefiting off your name, image, and likeness commercially through brands and stuff, and not just under the table payments, which I mean, I know we've had that for a while, but now it's just out of control. But wanted to get your guys' overall thoughts on that because I personally think that that is like that kind of not solves, but it at least helps this NIL crisis that we're in.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. One thing I have to add is I believe like at least like the company or organization that they have to submit it to, I believe that's Deloitte, like
Yeah.
the big four accounting firm. And I mean, if anything I know about them is they should have it on lock. Like they're very good at what they do, but that's who would I guess have to sanction like this is only worth like $50,000. But I definitely agree that's taking a step in the right direction and getting away from just like direct pay for play. Like, yeah, go ahead, Carter. That's pretty much all I got.
Yeah, I agree with both of y'all. I mean, it's obviously like what Cole said, it's not gonna obviously solve everything, but it's definitely a good step in the right direction. 'Cause I mean, now with NIL, players literally just go. I mean, they'll go in the transfer portal and they'll go to a school that'll literally just pay them the most money. Like, well, not a good instance, but I mean, with the whole Nico situation. I mean, he's wanting more money, but he transferred out, but now he's getting less money. So I mean, I don't know. Really do think that the pay for play is. I mean, I'm not really a big fan of it, just because I think it kind of ruins college football. Because I mean, literally all players can do they if they not if they're not getting like money that they want, they could literally just go hit the portal. And I think NIL should definitely be used more for, you know, promoting their name, image, or likeness to, you know, get their name out there, not specifically like, oh, like which school can pay me the most money? I'm gonna go there. So I definitely think that this, is gonna be a good step in the right direction.
No, I'm glad you brought up the Nico stuff, Carter, because we were going to touch on that. And that is a prime example of what can backfire when you're just chasing NIL, which we know it's not NIL right now. It's just bag chasing. But let's say in this new model that comes up, Nico wouldn't have probably gone to Tennessee to begin with. Honestly, of course, like depending on rev share, if Tennessee like still allocated those funds in a rev share model. And I think, at least for me, when this rev share model does come out and players are essentially on contracts and yearly salary, I would like to see incentives where, kind of like how companies do, if you're at a company for a certain amount of time longer, you get a pay increase. I want that to be a thing where, hey, if you stay at this school for 3 years, we are guaranteeing like a this much bump in your pay. You know what I mean? I think that would be, because then that's going to decentivize people from just hopping around to other teams, like how we see certain guys where they post the on-3 graphic and he has five schools at the bottom, and then it shows the arrow and it's like three schools, but then one of the schools he flip-flop this, that, and the. Oh my gosh, dude, those graphics are the craziest things.
Yeah. So for our viewers that we haven't really met them since we last talked about it, Nico has officially committed to UCLA, and he will be making significantly less money than what he would have made if he stayed at Tennessee. Nothing close to the 4 million, and honestly, nothing close to the 2.3 or 2.4 that he was slotted to make this year at Tennessee. We don't have exact numbers for the UCLA deal yet, but it looks like it's going to be anywhere between like 900,000 to like 1.5 mil. And if you know, California state tax and all of that kind of stuff is significantly higher than what it would have been at Tennessee. I actually don't think Tennessee has any state income tax, but California, he's going to be making less than $1 million
So,
regardless.
Jacob, I'm gonna stop you right here because I was looking up the Nico stuff on Twitter right now just to like see and make sure that this all was official. And the first thing I see is a New York Post article that says Nico Iamaleava's NIL drama may not be over with UCLA transfer still unofficial.
Yeah, that's why I said he committed there. He hasn't signed anything yet. Ain't nothing true till the pen hits the paper.
Oh my. That reminds me too. Did you guys see that thing? So this, when someone says it just means more, and they're like, "What do you mean?" It's like, show them this story. Dude, this guy, a pastor from the state of Tennessee, was on a mission trip or something in South Africa. He gets into a crazy shootout. I don't know what happened, if there's like a gang or just like just crazy terrorists or something. He gets into a shootout. Guy gets rescued. And one of the first things he says when he's like brought back home, he's in the hospital or something or another, he basically is like, "So did Nico actually transfer, or like was that fake?" Like, oh my gosh, bro, literally was getting shot at, and the only thing he could think about is if Nico actually transferred. This is why college football is great. Not only just the pageantry and the tradition, but the fans themselves. If anyone ever tells you that the SEC, like the Big Ten or someone, cares about the football more, you show them this story and be like, "Hey, are you doing this? I don't think so."
The poster
Insane.
child for it just means more.
Literally. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, dude, I saw that story on Twitter. I was like, SEC fans are maniacs. It's hilarious.
Oh my
That's
gosh.
really all it boils down to. Just crazy for your team. And especially now that their money is involved. Like, it's people like to talk down on the fans and stuff like that, but the fans are the ones paying for these players. It's just the fans that have made it big time and made a lot of money and turned it into boosters. Like, hopefully, we all do one day for the University of Georgia.
Yeah. Oh, what was I going to
Speaking of
say?
UGA, you want to go ahead and transition over into the portal?
Yeah, I was going to say something, but I completely forgot. It was going to be funny though, trust me. So, we can just go ahead and
If
move
you
on.
remember, it will come back to you, Cole.
Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and talk about these portal losses for UGA. Some would call them losses. Some would say they had to be done.
Some would say addition by subtraction.
Some would say addition by
But yeah,
subtraction.
some would, allegedly, like not, some
Allegedly.
would say, some would say.
Allegedly. Yeah, so, I mean, one of them kind of sucks for sure. That would be Branson Robinson, the running back hitting the portal due to injury. Had a really hard time finding the field other than his true freshman campaign and, more importantly, in the national championship game against TCU. He's been dealing with knee stuff. I know he tore his patellar tendon, which is why he missed that first whole season. And then last year he was dealing with a MCL, ACL. So the odds of him kind of just working his way back and breaking through the depth chart that has seemingly become pretty deep at Georgia are they were looking pretty slim, so it's like he's going somewhere else, and they can't transfer within the SEC since it's the new spring portal rule.
Yeah, no, and when I say addition by subtraction, this was not one of those that I was talking about. We have nothing but respect and appreciation for Branson. It just sucks because his situation is strictly injuries. And I guarantee you, if he doesn't get those injuries, he is lead back or 1B in this running back room right now. Just what he showed against TCU in that national championship. Again, it was against TCU, but again, it was in the national championship. He was running people over, highly rated guy. I'm excited to see where he goes. I definitely think he can at least carve out a role somewhere. It's just going to be about if he can stay healthy and stuff. So, wish you luck, Branson. But that's what I got for him.
Yeah, this is unfortunately one of those tough situations where injuries just derail. Just injuries derail. Branson, definitely like what you guys said, he went crazy in that national championship against TCU. But injuries suck. This is again just one of those unfortunate situations where if he just didn't get injured as much, he would definitely be, RB2 behind Nate Frazier, and then he definitely would have a bigger impact. But just injuries suck is just basically my point.
Yeah, they would have that Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, Thunder and Lightning combo with that.
So per Rivals, there are four teams that have become early contenders for Branson Robinson. Those are Clemson, Miami, Colorado, and North Carolina. This
Not
is
even
on
close.
UGA Wire, and they reference Rivals as the source for that. So, I mean, any one of those teams, I'd love to see him get in there. Hey, maybe he goes to Miami with old Carson Beck.
Love to see him go to Colorado so we would have no chance to have to play against him.
Miami's
Hey.
is getting torched right now by the transfer portal. I mean, they could use a guy. I mean,
Yeah.
but Colorado would be cool too. UNC's an interesting one. I feel like that would be a cool way to start off the Bill Belichick era by getting a highly recruited running back to come to UNC.
I mean, if he's used to Georgia and Kirby Smart, you have to think the transition to Belichick wouldn't be all too difficult.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, Jacob, what you said about Colorado is uncalled for, okay? Because that is an historic program who just retired two jerseys, okay? They are historical, and
A quarterback and a wide receiver who went a combined 12 and 11.
Dude, I have a quick rant about this. When I saw
Oh,
this, dude, when I saw this, I was like, God, man, Colorado's just. Poverty's not really the word I'm looking for, but irrelevant before Dion came there. But I get why they're retiring Travis Hunter's number. I mean, dude's an absolute stud, won the Heisman. Shedeur Sanders, why? I don't get it. I mean, sure, his last name's Sanders. That's literally the only reason why. I mean, might as well retire
what
Shiloh's
happened to
number too.
Shiloh? Gotta retire Shiloh too.
Wow.
I mean, I don't understand it like at all. I mean, cool. I mean, Shador led Colorado to an Alamo Bowl loss. I mean, I guess that means just retiring a number. I don't get it. But I mean, Travis Hunter, like I completely understand. But retiring Shador's number is definitely a Dion reasoning.
Carter's first appearance, and he's just throwing haymakers at Colorado. Oh my,
It's an easy one to throw haymakers at right now.
it's a it's definitely interesting with Shador because some would then say, well, then where's Cordell Stewart's retirement? I mean, because he's the most decorated Colorado quarterback ever, and he
Actually
didn't get
won
his
some.
number. Yeah, exactly. So, definitely some interesting stuff there. Hey, but who knows? Maybe Colorado, they get another 7-win season this year. I don't. You might be called a hater though if you say they're only win 7 games. I would be saying I'm like actually bolstering you guys up. But regardless, we move on, and we're sticking on the
Here's
topic
the
of the Georgia.
week one.
Oh, wait, they play Georgia Tech week one? Is it
Georgia in Atlanta.
in Atlanta? Oh.
Or I think it's in Boulder, but either way, Georgia
Boulder.
Tech by 1,000.
Yeah, that's weird to say, but I agree with you. We can
I
go ahead and go ahead and talk about this next group of transfer portal guys. We can kind of group
Oh.
these together,
Who would those
considering
be, Jacob? Are they
the two that essentially got kicked off the team for driving related incidences, Nitro Tuggle and Marquise Easley. But yeah, Nitro was caught going like 110 on the loop. If you know, in Athens, it's essentially like mini 285 around Atlanta. It's just a big circle around Athens. Yeah, he was going 105 in the old Challenger, 110, whatever it was, got pulled over. And these are a group of guys that Kirby's essentially making an example out of. And then Marquise Easley, he's a redshirt freshman offensive lineman who had a pretty promising future, was probably closer in line to see the field than Nitro, just considering the depth of both the wide receiver and the offensive line rooms. Marquise Easley drove his car into an apartment complex.
Do we know what complex that was?
No, I don't.
Okay.
There was one that was kind of like the Summit where we lived at, though. It was like individual houses, not like he didn't drive into like a giant building like the flats.
Man. Yeah, it just sucks with this. Like, it's just, young guys making poor decisions. It's gonna be up to them, how they're defined. If they can, find a home and kind of make all the right decisions and kind of make a name for themselves somewhere else. Rooting for them, hope they do it, but it just sucks. Obviously, Georgia, we are not strangers to driving related instances, unfortunately. But yeah, hopefully these guys can go somewhere and kind of rewrite their story, because I was pretty excited for Nitro and what he could be, but honestly, like, the receiver room has gotten quite crowded and there are a lot of mouths to feed, so. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that works out.
Yeah, just going off you, Cole. Definitely, it's just a situation where two young men just made terrible choices. Nitro is really the big one that's like a slap to the face to Kirby, because I don't know if you guys remember, but he was planning on transferring, and Kirby convinced him to stay. And then, of course, he goes out and does something dumb, and he basically is. Well, suspended, and then now he's obviously off the team. So, I think really Nitro is definitely the bigger disappointment, because I thought he was going to really thrive well in the offense. I mean, Easley too. I mean, Easley, he definitely had a bright future, but definitely will be rooting for these guys and hope that they can turn it around at wherever they go to.
We go from guys that are now in the portal transferring away from Georgia. Now, we got to talk about guys that are in the portal that we want to come to Georgia. And we got a few guys, some few targets. And looking at this list of players that we're looking at, it definitely seems, me and Jacob kind of touched on it on our spring depth chart episodes, but pass rusher is 100% a. We need a proven guy that can rush the passer, because right now we have a bunch of young guys and experienced pass rushers. So we seem to have Bo Atkinson, North Carolina edge, on there, and then an Army edge. Interesting. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce this guy's name, but
Elo Madozi.
Elo Madu. See, I knew whenever Jacob got the Nnamdi Ogboko very first off the rip that he could be trusted with this type of stuff. And
Yeah, we
then,
can go ahead and touch on these two together
yeah.
since they are both edge. Although both kind of different types of edge rushers. Bo Atkinson is more of your traditional like defensive end, built more similarly to Mykel Williams rather than a Jalen Walker. So he's like 6'6", 260. He's like stand up defensive end, big body, huge, very strong. He had six and a half sacks his last season at North Carolina, I do believe. And then Elo Madozi, the Army edge, he would fit more of that Jack linebacker, kind of like that stand up, strictly pass rusher role. more similarly to a Jalen Walker than a Mykal Williams. And he also does have experience at Army playing off the ball. So that more inside linebacker, more of like a N'Kobe Dean type role. I'm very, very intrigued about both of these guys. I know for Bo Atkinson, in particular, we're in heavy recruiting battles. It's going to be Ohio State, Miami, and I believe Penn State as well. So some of those big spenders.
Bo Atkinson, Ela Madozi, those two guys are definitely exactly what we need. Because I mean, losing a ton of talent to the NFL, you gotta recycle it every year. With Mykal Williams going in the draft, Jalen Walker going in the draft, I'd be perfectly fine with either one of these two. It's interesting with Madozi. I'm not. Me and Jacob were talking about this yesterday. I really don't know how, like, the transfer portal works for guys in like Army, Navy, and Air Force. Because I know, there's a requirement where you have to serve a few years, wherever you are. So I really don't know how that works. But, Modozi, like what Jacob said, he reminds me of a Jalen Walker, just that Jack linebacker that could blitz right off the edge if needed. And then Bo Atkinson, again, like he's reminds me so much of Mykal Williams, just your standard edge rusher defensive lineman that'll he reminds me more of like a kind of just thinking of like a pro comparison, like a Trey Hendrickson for the Bengals. He reminds me more of him, just your stereotypical edge rusher defensive end that just rushes the passer. Every play scheme wise, so definitely will be interested in those two. Hopefully, we can at least get one.
This upcoming weekend, and as well, everyone that we're going to touch on today, they're all confirmed to have a visit scheduled in Georgia.
So, for those curious, I did a quick Google search on these military transfer rules. And again, this is Google AI overview, so take this with a grain of salt. But it says that a cadet, as they're called, they will serve, do their military service upon graduation. So I think if you don't graduate from the military school, then you're not abided to that service time,
Makes sense.
I believe.
Yeah.
Wonder if that's the same with like BYU and their mission. I don't know. We got off topic there.
We'll touch on that a different day. That might be a
Yeah,
rabbit hole
no. I'm
gone
not equipped to
ahead.
have that conversation right now.
All right. Next, kind of grouping of players we have are a couple of defensive tackles. Two of them, which we're also would say that we needed via our roster breakdowns and just what we saw throughout the spring game. So the first one would be Alabama A&M defensive tackle Cedric Smith. So this is one of those guys who just kind of showed out their freshman year at a smaller school such as Alabama A&M, and then is looking to make a big jump up to the Power Four conferences. And then the next one is Miami defensive tackle Joshua Horton. I know that we were actually heavy within his recruitment out of high school, and he is also, I believe, a redshirt freshman or a sophomore. There's a first or second year guy, and he was actually committed to UGA for a long time. And then he was a signing day flip to Miami. So looks like the heart wants what the heart wants, and he wants to come back home.
Hey, yeah, and speaking of Cedric Smith, so he's a Atlanta guy too. He went to South Atlanta High School, and he actually has received two crystal balls for Georgia. So it seems that we are going to land Cedric Smith. 6'4", 280 are his listings. I'm sure we're going to want to beef him up a little bit if he's going to be playing on our D line.
Yeah, just I have his stats pulled up right here. So last year he played in 11 games, had 20 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks. I mean, I'll take that any day. So I would love. I'm not. I don't really watch, or I don't watch much. D2 football, but
What? Are you not a ball lover or something?
I don't watch like South Carolina State. I only watch them whenever they play Power Five schools. But But no, definitely I've seen his name whenever the transfer portal first came out as a possible, big name. So definitely would love to have him on our D-line to help out Elijah Griffin.
That would be
And then it seems last guy on this list that we have is a, or a, did you still want to touch a little bit on the D tackle, or you want to talk about this Illinois running back?
Yep, next guy on the list is going to be Josh McCray. He's a running back for Illinois last year. I believe he's an older guy, so he's got some experience under his belt. What we're really looking for in this guy is someone to pair nicely with Nate Frazier in the backfield. Like we said earlier, kind of that thunder and lightning combo, with Nate Frazier obviously being the lightning. Josh McCray is 6'1", 230 pounds, and he started at Illinois last year. Big body running back. He tore up South Carolina in their bowl game. He rushed for 114 yards and two touchdowns, I believe. So he's got that experience playing against strong Power Four competition within the Big Ten and then a couple SEC teams as well. I'd be really excited about this one if we land him.
Some say Josh McCray was actually the instigator of the famous Shane Beamer point across the sideline incident. Some
Was a
people,
fun
not
one,
me,
but.
that's just allegedly, but no, yeah, like you said, that thunder and lightning 6'1", 240 is his 230, 240, wherever you want to say. I mean, that kind of fills that, Branson role that he left behind. You know what I mean? Of course, Rob, we see him being that, but again, we just don't know with his health and stuff. So no, most definitely guy that you want to get on the goal line, and just overall be a bruiser. We can give it to him when we need a third and one to move the chains with like 2 minutes left in the game. So no, yeah, for sure. Definitely interested to see because he is a grad student, so he's a little bit older, so this would just kind of be a 1 year rental piece.
Last year, he had 600 yards, 10 TDs. I mean, I'll again for RB2, that would be amazing because Cash Jones is more used as a receiver back. So definitely would be awesome to land Josh McCray as that bruiser alongside Nate Frazier. It's funny that you mentioned the Shane Beamer pointer. And so I completely forgot about that until you brought it up. I remember watching that game. That was hilarious. But yeah, definitely. Is he crystal balled anywhere yet, or did he just enter the portal?
I just checked his 24/7 page and he doesn't currently have anything.
Okay. I noticed that he's from Alabama, so obviously that would be a more of a closer to home, obviously Georgia, Alabama. So that would definitely be a huge big time pickup because, I thought when Jaden Ott went into the transfer portal, I thought that was a guy that we were gonna try and recruit heavy, but he went to Oklahoma, I'm pretty sure. But definitely McCray would be definitely a huge pickup for the running back room.
Absolutely. I know Jaden Ott went to Oklahoma before the portal even opened. That was all like a day or two before. I was like, I thought that wasn't allowed. Like, what are we doing
No, there was no collusion, okay? He's just saying that, like, he's going to go to Oklahoma, like, once he does enter the portal, Jacob. Like, come
mean,
on now.
speaking of collusion, isn't entering with a do not contact clause? It just screams collusion because, like, how do you know where you're gonna go if you're not supposed to have talked to anyone yet? But you're saying, hey, don't talk to me. I know where I'm gonna go. I never understood that. That was the same thing with Nico. Nico entered with a do not contact clause too, and UCLA was the only team that hadn't pulled out of his recruitment.
Yeah, no, that whole do not contact thing, like, I don't even know what the whole point of that was to begin with and with the portal. Because, yeah, like you said, if you enter the portal, you're, again, if you do it right, you're then fielding offers from coaches can then legally contact you. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, anytime you see a do not contact clause or thing on their transfer portal application, just know that they're going to commit in about 48 hours. Give or take.
Is there anyone else that y'all think would potentially leave or that we could potentially get on the roster this year through the portal?
That we can target.
Or that would leave.
I'm looking at our depth chart right now and seeing about any type of potential people that could leave.
There's one or two that comes to mind with me. I mean, like, with as deep as our tight end room is, any one of them, but I doubt Todd Hartley would let that happen. With the three safeties that we signed in last Portals class, I could maybe see Ja'Cory Thomas, but he's probably going to start the year as a starter. And then another one with the injuries, Rod Robb, would be really the only ones that I can speak on.
I think I can confidently say we're going to get at least one safety in the portal.
Yeah,
One of
I
those like
haven't seen
safety.
anyone yet.
You haven't?
I don't know if there's any. Like, I haven't seen a notable safety enter the portal yet.
Yeah, I just don't know. Like it's such a deep room, and like even those guys like Chris Peel, those guys that were 2023 recruits or 2022, whatever they were. Moved to safety, and now they're buried behind the Adrian Maddox and the Zion Branch and guys like that, you know? Guys that like we've completely forgot about.
Definitely will agree that I think we'll get at least one safety. Honestly, I wouldn't even be surprised if we pick up any position for depth, because I know Kirby has stated multiple times in interviews that Georgia doesn't have the depth as they usually do, just with all the NFL talent being gone. So I honestly, it's game on. So I really don't. It could be any position, really. I mean, you could go and add a quarterback to the quarterback room. For what reason, I have no idea. But definitely, if I had to make a prediction, definitely would have to agree with you, Jacob. I think Roderick Robinson will probably go into the transfer portal. And then I would say probably if I had to make like a definite guess, I would imagine probably safety would be the next target.
Yep, and of course, you know, we sit here and we hope that nobody enters the portal, but we know that that is not reality in this day of college football. We could stay on the topic of the portal, but switch sports here. We got UGA basketball. We've been hitting on the portal. We've been saying Mike White is cooking, and for a second, we thought he was cooking up something unbelievable, but the reports have kind of cooled off, and we're not really too sure. Jacob, I'll let you take this one. What is this? What was Mike White cooking, and did he potentially fumble the bag?
It seems like he might have fumbled the bag now, at least. When I wrote these show notes, it was all over Twitter. Ian Jackson, point guard from North Carolina, on an official visit to Georgia. He averaged like 11-ish points per game last year, and he was a five-star coming out of high school. He was like the number 7 overall player. So I know he came on a visit. And he stayed for a little bit longer, I guess, than he should have, like an extra day or something like that. So it sounded like we were really pushing hard to get an offer out or a commitment while he was on campus, but it doesn't seem like that has happened. So the reports have kind of cooled off on Ian Jackson. But yeah, five-star point guard from UNC. I'd like to have him. We lost Silas Demery. Gotta add someone.
Yeah, definitely. Ian Jackson would be a huge, I mean, huge addition to our team. I just read a few minutes ago that NC State is really trying to land him as well. It's
Wade.
Will Wade. Yeah, Ian Jackson would be huge, and then I mean, I 12 points a game, 2 rebounds, about pretty much an assist, and then 45% from the floor. Definitely, that would be absolutely huge. So we'll see. We'll see if Mike White can cook once again in the transfer portal, but it looks looking real slim right now. But hopefully, he works some magic. So
Yeah, I
we'll see.
mean, you wouldn't think that it would be hard to poach guys from inferior teams to Georgia when it comes to basketball. I mean, North Carolina was worse than Georgia last year in basketball, so like surely we just like take their players, right? Is that how it works? That is more of a wild thing that we had a better season. Now, this is again one of North Carolina's worst seasons ever, but we had a better year than North Carolina basketball. What if I had
Definitely.
told you that coming into the Yeah. What if I had told you coming into the season that we were going to be a higher seed in the NCAA tournament than North Carolina?
I've said North Carolina had a god-awful season. All might have been true.
Oh my. Yeah. But
Next basketball portal guy we have here, Stojakovic. I don't
oh.
know his first name, but it's Peja Stojakovic's son, and he was at Cal with Jeremiah Wilkinson last year. Another five-star wing, I believe he's like 6'7", white boy. Just got an absolute strap. European basketball player. Please, for the love of God, be on my team. I saw Jeremiah Wilkinson put the eyeball emojis under his portal announcement, so that's why I put him on there.
I mean, shoot, in 2025, the eyeball emojis might as well just be the it's confirmed, like, you know what I mean? But, dude, I need to see frat guys rocking Stojakovic Georgia basketball jersey alongside with the Peja Stojakovic Kings jersey. Oh my gosh, dude. But I mean, he's a shooter. If your last name's Stojakovic, you're going to be a shooter. And that's what we need. Me and Jacob talked about it. It seems like any time in my life as a Georgia basketball fan, we have not been a good shooting team. But that would be huge. And Jeremiah Wilkinson got that connection. Now, I don't know if Stojakovic has a no contact tag, but if he does, then that favors us, I'd say.
I want to make a quick shout out to former Georgia Bulldogs coach Mark Fox, who got, I think he got fired 2 years ago. So I think it's hilarious that we're recruiting from Cal or trying to get guys from Cal. I just wanted to point that out. But 18 points a game, four and a half rebounds, shooting 42% from the floor, 32% from three. I need this man on my team now.
Yeah,
Six
18 points a
six
game in
seven
college is
wing,
a lot.
6'7" wing. Get some more height on this team. Definitely a big strength for us last year was height. Because I, ever since I've been a Georgia basketball fan, I cannot remember for the life of me one time that Georgia had height. They would get dominated by all these height teams. Before last year, so. Definitely would not hurt to add some more height to this team with Surreal, Dylan James, to help spread the floor a little bit. So definitely, I want to be able to rock a Stojakovic Georgia jersey. So.
Next one I thought here is Darian Reed. Looks like that's kind of cooled off a bit. Looked like he entered the portal with a do not contact clause, and everybody and their mother on the Twitter timeline was like, he's a dog, he's a dog, he's going to Georgia. And then literally that one night, we haven't heard anything since then. So he was one that we talked about in our previous episode that has also kind of cooled off.
But yeah, so we will continue to update on UGA portal news, and maybe one of these days we'll actually get a another commitment. But yeah, I know we'll keep an eye on that. This next topic, you guys are more equipped to talk about it than I am, being Falcons fans.
Sadly.
Says on here, Falcons Jalen Ramsey. Now I'm assuming that means that Jalen Ramsey signed with the Falcons. Have not been on the timeline much, or is that just like a rumor that he's going there potentially, like negotiating?
Yeah, we have been linked to Jalen Ramsey with the connections that he's had with Raheem Morris in the past when he was a defensive coordinator out in LA for the Rams. I've seen countless Jalen Ramsey interviews where he's just like praising Raheem Morris, just about like how smart he is and how he's still learning stuff in like year 8, 9, 10 from Raheem Morris and how cool of a person he is. So, I mean, as long as the price matches and he's not going to be overwhelmingly expensive or cost us a bunch of draft picks that we don't have, that'd be great. Go get him.
I think my bad, Carter. I just need to say this is important. I think there needs to be something in his contract that forbids him to wear those long sleeves on his jersey that he's been rocking recently. I don't know what Jalen Ramsey's been doing with his gear and his drip lately, but I'm not an expert, but it's not it. Yeah, just had to point that out.
Yeah, definitely been seeing the rumor mill on Twitter with the Falcons being the odds favorite to land Ramsey in a trade. I mean, to be honest with you, I really don't know what people see in the Falcons draft capital, because I mean, they lost a fifth round pick for tampering with Kirk Cousins last year, and then they gave up a third for Matthew Judon, who had a terrible season last year. So I would assume it would probably be picks for next year's draft in 2025. So, or I forgot how 2026. My bad. But yeah, I really don't know like what trade capital we would or what draft capital, and I don't know if we would throw in a player for Ramsey. I would imagine he wouldn't cost too much, but I really well that and our cap situation with the whole Kirk Cousins thing is weird, because I think we have, I think last I checked, we had like a little more than 10 million in cap space, so I don't know how they'll be able to afford his contract. I would assume just by restructuring some players, but I don't know. I've just been seeing all over Twitter from these NFL insiders that the Falcons have the best trade capital available, which certainly saying something when they don't really have a lot of, especially draft picks for this year. I think they have like 4 or 5 picks in this draft, so I don't know. We'll see.
We'll
And
give them
then,
D. Alford for Jalen Ramsey.
actually,
And
no, he.
Miami pays the contract too.
Actually, no. D. Alford actually re-signed with the Falcons a few days ago. So,
Yeah, so we can ship him out to Miami, trade him for Jalen Ramsey.
please, please, please get that man off my team. He,
It's so bad. Cole, I know I
please.
was at your house for the Falcons versus Vikings game. That was the one where he got spun around like a top by Justin Jefferson. Why he was covering Justin Jefferson to begin with, I have no idea. Well, yeah, I do. It's because we're a bad team. But he got spun around like a top and then juked out over and over again. I mean, it just looked like the most unathletic football play that you've ever seen in your life.
Jaden Daniels absolutely ripped that man apart in
Oh,
overtime when
yeah.
we played them. I think every single pass went to the offer and he got burnt every single time. It reminded me when the Seahawks were playing the Eagles. There's something on Monday Night Football and Drew Lock. Every single play was going to right at James Bradbury and he got torched every game and they ended up winning. So that was. I want him on my team now. I cannot stand him.
It's okay, Carter, because we're about to talk about something really good that the Falcons do, the draft. I mean, you guys draft. I mean, right? Why are you guys laughing? Come on, show some freaking like some faith in your team, man. Come on. Who are you guys drafting this year?
I'll show you Terry Fontenot's drafts as a Falcon.
Never let Terry cook in
I actually saw a TikTok about some of the worst drafts of like the recent like 10 years or something, and some of these drafts are guys that literally are out of the league in like 3 years. So maybe t in comparison to that, maybe Terry was cooking.
If you, I think it's either like the 2018 or 2019 Falcons draft. I think it may be the worst I've ever seen in my life. It's so bad. It was before Fontenot got there. It was Dimitroff, but oh my! Just reading off those names, I think it literally may be the worst. It was the TAC draft. I forgot what year that was.
I have the, yeah, Jacob, I have the a Falcons Wire article pulled up of every pick in the Terry Fontenot era.
There we go. I got you.
You got it.
Share my screen.
Right, hey, well, we can grade. All right, let's see this. Let's see if he's cooking.
Gross.
Kyle Pitts, I
Kyle
mean,
Pitt.
fantasy football legend. Kyle Pitts, first round com pick.
Richie Grant, one of the worst safeties I've ever laid eyes on. Jalen Mayfield didn't make the team year 3. Never heard of Darren Hall, honestly. Drew Dahlman might be his best pick
this
ever.
whole draft.
And then we let him walk in free agency because we have a terrible general manager. That's who we're talking about. Oops. Taquan Graham, I believe he's still on the team. Backup, role player, not good at all. I've never heard of this guy before. This guy was a punt returner for us. Frank Darby didn't make the team.
All right,
Drake
so
London, okay.
good pick.
Ebikadie, kind of a bust right now, but for some reason people are still holding out hope that he's going to be good. Same could be said for Troy Anderson. I mean, I hope he's good. He's a height, weight, speed freak.
You who shall not be
Next.
named.
D'Angelo Malone. Made the team for like 1 year, no longer on the team. Tyler Allgeier, honestly not a
Good
bad pick. We low key be cooking with the fifth rounders. Was Drew Dahlman?
pick.
He was a four. Justin Schaefer didn't make it out of rookie mini camp. He didn't make the initial 53-man roster his first year. And this was the one where Jamari Sawyer was still on the board. He was a
Nah.
round six pick for the Chargers, and he's been a 3 year starter. John Fitzpatrick, actually still on the team, believe it or not, as like the fourth or fifth tight end.
Shout out John Fitzpatrick.
Yeah,
Shout
shout
out
out.
John Fitzpatrick. Bijan, okay. Didn't think we needed a running back. Matthew Bergeron, okay pick, I guess. Maybe. Zach Harrison, whatever. Clark Phillips could be good this year, whatever. DeMarco Helms is the reason why we have safety problems right now. I've never heard of this guy before in my life.
All right.
Michael
No.
Penix didn't need a quarterback. We traded everything that we possibly could have had this year.
Scooby-Doo.
He
Scooby-Doo.
played like he played in like four games last year. He was terrible. Braylon Trice didn't play a game last year, got hurt. Same can be said for Brandon Dorlus. Didn't play any game last year, got hurt. JD Bertrand, backup linebacker. Jace McClellan, I honestly forgot about this one. I don't think he's on the team anymore. Casey Washington, terrible. Zion Logue, this is just to make Georgia fans shut up saying we don't draft Georgia players, but when in reality we just draft the bad ones in the sixth or seventh round.
I want to make a
Yeah.
comment about the 20
Go
the
ahead.
last year's
I just
draft.
wanted to run through all of them really quickly and stop sharing the screen. But
Yeah,
yeah.
I've never gotten so mad at one pick. When we picked Rook, I was screaming for Cooper DeJean. I was like, I've never gotten so angry. And dude played what, like 3 games and got hurt. It's so like, of course,
Yep.
put me as GM. Like I'll draft a bunch of studs.
Put me as
This panel
GM.
right here, us three as GM, would work absolute wonders, dude.
Right. This is the great thing about having a podcast is because you can chronicle your takes. So we're sitting here right here at, okay, so when is the, so draft is next week or something like that.
Next Thursday.
What do you guys, who do you guys want the Falcons to draft? And we're gonna be able to look back on this and see if they're good. I'm gonna be like, you're no better than Terry.
Michael Williams,
Right.
please.
Any edge rusher. It doesn't matter
You guys got
if
Rook.
don't say that name.
Interior defensive line,
Sorry,
but
sorry.
yeah.
No, but
Christ, we don't even know what he is because he didn't play for us last year because he got hurt in training camp.
Nah, man, we signed 40-year-old Leonard Floyd in the offseason.
Hey,
Yeah.
respect Leonard Floyd.
I do. Dude's a baller,
That's
but
just, that's
he's old.
almost another slight at Georgia fans. Just like, all right, here you go, shut up.
Yeah, definitely for me, I already know it's not going to be the pick because, you just never know with the Falcons on draft night, but please, for the life of me, draft an edge rusher. Literally, our best edge rusher has been John Abraham, who last played in like what, 2010. So I mean, it could be anywhere from Mykel Williams, Jalen Walker, Mike Green, Shamar Stewart, dude from Boston College. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but please, just for the life of me, draft an edge rusher. Don't piss me off on day one of the draft again. Please.
All that for Terry to pick
Don't get your hopes up.
Ashton
Yeah, it's hey, it's never
Ready
it's
out for action, JT.
hey, it's never too late to draft Bijan's replacement, so.
Exactly. Running backs have a short shelf life. It's about building for the future. If you guys didn't know that, gosh, let Terry cook. Come on.
What about you, Paul? Who do you think the Steelers are going to
Oof.
get? Pick
Man.
21.
21, that's going to be tough because, as a Steelers fan, like I said, it sucks because we're never going to be bad enough to get a top 10 pick, but we're never going to be good enough, at least under this, to win a Super Bowl. I've said for a while, I think Jackson Dart for me is at least the pick. I would love that, but if not Jackson Dart, then probably like O-line then. Like an O-lineman of some kind. I don't know who the late round O-linemen are. But yeah, and then always, what else do we, maybe like a D-lineman or something. I'll dive when we're talking about the draft coming up, whenever we do our episode next week, I'll definitely have a more concrete list of who I want because I'll dive into it.
Maybe you'll have an Aaron Rodgers decision by then.
Oh, who knows? I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I'm committed to nothing, attached to nothing. Whatever he said, what was the phrasing that he said?
Open to everything, attached to nothing, I think, something like that. But yeah, he went on Pat McAfee the other day and just said a whole bunch of nothing. A bunch of mumbo jumbo nothingness. That's so
Throat just
funny.
yapping.
Just sitting there yapping, dude, just like we are.
Jalen Milroe is the most obvious Pittsburgh Steeler of all time.
Oh my, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, we probably are,
I
dude, to
mean,
be honest. I've
Paul,
seen
love
so much.
that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't
Oh.
know. I'll get into it another time. I
No,
don't
honestly,
think.
taking Dart at 21 if he's there and then having him learn behind Aaron Rodgers for a year or two would not be terrible.
That, yeah, that's what I
It
said
seems
for
like
the
best
Steelers I
case.
want. Like, ideally, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think all the reports are, well, I mean, draft buzz is draft buzz, so I mean, you could take it however you want. It's really all talk until the actual draft, but they're saying that either Shador or Dart is going to go to, or is projected to go to New Orleans, so that should be interesting at nine. Yeah, I think
Thank
nine.
you.
Yeah, so that should be interesting because with all the Derek Carr injury news, where he's gonna have to get a procedure on his shoulder that could take him out, and they already saw who Spencer Rattler is. I mean, we all knew who he was, but it was funny to see the Saints figure that one out for herself.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. All right,
Throwback
boys,
to.
well, we've ran through all of our topics for tonight. Want to go ahead and close it out?
Yeah, I think that is good to do. We hit a lot, but all good things.
So we want to thank Carter for joining us on his first appearance and won't be his last in the Gridiron Pulse. And go ahead and like, comment, subscribe, everything on the video. We're going to link our socials as well. Got the Gridiron Pulse, TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter up, obviously. And that's going to do it for what I believe, what is this, episode 5. We made it 5
Five.
episodes, guys. Congratulations.
Wow.
All
Unreal
right, we'll see
stuff.
y'all later.